Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all. We're going to start out this morning over in Philippians chapter 3, if you want to get a head start and move there. We sing these wonderful songs. And they have a wonderful theme or object that goes with them. The idea here is that we as a group of believers in Christ, that when we come together, bound by the profession that we have, that profession in Christ, that when we gather under that profession and we collectively sing, collectively lift up our heart to the Lord in such a way that that would leave no doubt as to what's really in our heart, that we really and truly love the Lord, that we really and truly love Him, and that we have a desire to be with Him, to be in His presence, to see Him. We sing about the one that we want to see. We sing about the one that we want to be in the presence of. That we have an understanding that this isn't our home. And part of the problem that we have is that we've made this our home. That we make this our home. That we're far too at home here. Far too at home on this earth. Far too at home in this time that we have here. And I know that because of the way we spend our time and our resources while we're here. Why does a young family surrender to the mission field and go and live in a hut somewhere in the middle of a hostile place? Live in a hut somewhere with no running water, no medical, nothing but a bunch of dirty folks. Why would somebody do that? They might be the ones that are getting it. The idea that this isn't our home. That this isn't where we're supposed to get used to things. Be comfortable in. You know, we say we love the Lord and we want to see Him face to face. We talk about wanting to be about His business. I hear a lot of talk. Been in the ministry now going on 20 years. I heard a lot of talking. A lot of lips flapping. A lot of lips talking about loving the Lord.
But I've seen quite a lot less of the walking. A lot of talking, little walking. We're to love the Lord with everything that we have, with every fiber of our being, for every moment that we have in this life. I like the chorus that, I like a lot of the stuff that's in these songs today. By grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. I don't see a whole lot of constraint. I don't see a lot of Christians being constrained by the love of Christ. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. You can have it for the hour we're in church. But leave me alone the rest of the time. Don't mess with me. I'll give you my hour of the week, but don't mess with me the rest of the week. I bless your name when I walk through the wilderness. Some do. I'll praise you when the darkness closes in. Some do. Man, your name's blessed when I'm on the road marked suffering. Some will. You give and you take away. Blessed be your name. Some will see it that way. Many won't. Till I rest in you, I'm restless. Until I rest in you, I'm going to be restless. Boy, if there was a good title for the message this morning, I think that might be it. Till I rest in you, Lord, I want to be restless here. Let's take a look in Philippians chapter 3. I got so much that I want to share this morning. We're not going to get to none of it, I know. Philippians chapter 3. Looking down at verse 12. You know who's talking here, right? Great Apostle Paul is the one that's talking here. And he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I haven't arrived. If you go back up and look at the passage coming into this, it's talking about, he's telling a bunch of folks in there, he's saying, you know what? He said, if you want to measure me out as somebody that is good at Judaism, you're going to find me to be one of the best. He said, I'm going to tell you what, there ain't none of you did a better job at being a Judaizer than I was. And I'm not perfect. I cannot attain to perfection. That didn't get me nowhere. That didn't get me perfect, is what he's coming to. This is kind of a summary statement here in this verse. It says, all of that that I did, all of that that I law keeping and putting myself under this and holding up this end of the body. He said, none of that made me perfect. None of that made me perfect. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before me. What is before him? To be in the presence of the Lord. To be in the presence of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm forgetting all this mess behind me and even all the good stuff that I've done. Forget all of that. I'm just going to keep moving from here forward because I'm looking forward to being in the presence of the Lord. I am striving for that. I'm reaching for that. I'm yearning for that. I'm pressing for that. Pressing, leaning for that mark. Forgetting the things which are behind. How many of you have had bad things take place in your life? How many of you have had terrible things take place in your life? Every time you go to a counselor, the counselor wants to say, well, let's go back and look into your past. Let's look at your family and see what the cause of your problem was. Let's go take a look at your daddy. and see what he did to mess up your life. Let's go look at your mama. Next thing you know, you're back in the womb. Maybe there was some sound in the womb that created some kind of problem here that now you've turned out this way and had all these problems in your life. And Paul says, forget that mess. Forget that mess that's behind you. That mess that's behind you has no control over your today. That mess that's behind you has nothing to do with today. You're going to make choices today. You're going to make choices about how you move forward today. Choose wisely. Press towards the mark. Forget the mess. Get it behind you. Quit dragging that up and giving yourself an excuse. And move forward in the things of God. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And when he's talking about perfect, he's talking about living up to your potential in Christ. Talking about living up to your potential in Christ at that very moment. You have a potential in Christ today. You have been taught. You have been discipled. You have been shown. You have been given the tools to be able to do things, to be about the Lord's business today. You have been given those things. And if you're using them and living up to your potential, then you are, in the eyes of the Lord, you are perfect at this point. Living up to your potential in the Lord. Living up to the teaching that you've received, living up to the level that he has given instruction to you for. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That's a bold statement. This is a bold statement of a man that is living his life for the Lord today, that is walking in the truth. And he puts himself up, he says, as long as I'm walking in Christ, follow me. Come go with me. I want to be the example for you. Come go with me as I follow Christ. Go to the 4th chapter, he'll tell you the same thing again. Those things which you have both learned and received and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do those things that you've seen in me. He puts himself up as an example because he knows where he's going. He knows who he's following. He knows what he's striving for in this life. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Saddened him to look around. You look and read Paul's letters, and you're going to find very few commendations in them. You're going to find very few individuals that he commends in those letters and says, this one is pretty awesome. Follow after this guy. Follow after this one here, Timothy, Epaphroditus. I mean, there's just a few people that he says in his word. He says, and this one right here would do well to emulate. And this one right here would be a good example for you to follow. Listen to him. He's the right kind of guy. Most of the folks that he's looking at make him sad. Makes him sad to look out. He says, because they're enemies of the cross. Enemies of the cross. Talk a good game. But don't walk it. Good talkers, but not good walkers. Enemies of the cross. Whose end is destruction? Whose God's their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? Boy, that's getting right down to where the rubber meets the road right there. And the dividing line that he's putting out. And the dividing line being those that are living for their belly and those that are living for the things of God. Those that are living for their own selfish means and ends, and those that are living every day as though it could be the last day that we have opportunity to serve the Lord. Let me show you something here. We've been studying over in Colossians. Take a trip to the right, one book, Colossians chapter 4. Verse 1, he says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving," he says. "With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Now that may not seem like much to you, but there's a whole bunch in there. And what that's saying in that particular place right there is saying, you know, he's talking to these folks, "You masters do this and you servants do this. Pray, 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 watch. Be vigilant about these things." And then he says, and I need you to pray for us. Pray for us. And when he's talking about praying for us here, he's talking about, number one, Paul himself, who is at this point in prison. He's in prison. He's been locked up for the mystery of Christ. He's been locked up for preaching the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the new covenant, new way, new day. He's been preaching Christ in you, the hope of glory, being born again and having the Spirit of the living God in you. And he's been preaching this gospel, been locked up for it. Timothy showed up. A whole bunch of folks have showed up over here. He says, "I need you to pray for us, that a door of utterance would be opened." In other words, he's saying, pray that I get out of this thing. Pray that I get out of this jail. Pray that I get out of this prison. Now, you and I would agree with that, wouldn't we, if we were sitting in prison somewhere, wouldn't we? We'd be sitting there saying, "Get me out of here." Most of us would be saying, "I don't deserve to be here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out. Pray. Y'all all pray that I get out of this horrible place." And then he tells us why he wants out of there. He don't want out of there just to get out of there. He wants out of there so that he can go back to preaching the gospel. So that he can go back to preaching the gospel, preaching the mystery of Christ. He says, "I don't want out of here just to get out of here. I need out of here to preach the gospel. I want to be about the business that the Lord has called me to do. I'm stuck in this place. Please pray that God would open the door and let me out so I can get back to the business that I've been called to do, which is the same business." Which is the same business that you've been called to do. The same business. You've been given the great commandment. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, "I want out. Not because it's hard, because it's cold and damp and that I'm chained up. No, I don't want out because of that. I want out because there's people that need to hear the message. There's people that need to hear. I want to be about the Lord's business. I don't want to be stuck here. I want to be out working and serving in the field. I want to be working and serving as the Lord has called me to do." Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. Every day that we wake up and draw breath in the kingdom of God is a day that we're to live for Christ. We're to live for Christ, looking to that time, looking forward to that time when we're going to get to be with Him face to face. That's the goal. That's the objective. It's not everything that we've made it here. The objective of this life is to see the Lord face to face at the end of this existence, however long it is. Whether it be a month or whether it be a century, the goal is to be in the presence of the Lord, to see Him, to be with the one that we love, the one that loved us so much that He gave Himself for us, that we might spend an eternity with Him. I'm going to show you something, a little illustration of that somebody swiped me on. Somebody done me bad. I had a coil of wire up here. Anybody know where it went? That's a good place for it. There it is. Hope we didn't put a left-hand twist in it now. Maybe it'll work. Sure it will. We're going to use our imagination anyway today. So let's take a look at it, okay? What we're going to do with this right here is we're going to let this represent our life. And let's pretend, if you will, that this wire goes out the door and on and on and on and around the world once and around the world again. And maybe a third time. Let's go ahead and go around the world three times with it, all right? And then let's shoot it on up and circle the moon four or five times and just let it go out there and run around all over the place in there, and it just never ends. It just don't never end, okay? This is going to represent eternal life, all right? Eternal life is what we have. Every one of us in the room today has out in front of us eternal life. Everlasting life. It began at a point, but it will continue on forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. This little piece right here is going to represent your time on earth. Short time. Long time. Short time here, long time somewhere else. Huh? Let me go ahead and get this out of the way. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are born again, when we surrender to Him, at the end of this earthly existence, that eternal life is with Him. If we neglect Him and we do not make a decision and we do neglect the decision for Christ, then this eternity here will be spent in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So, we've got this little piece right here that we're dealing with today. And what we do or don't do during this time right here determines how all of this is going to be spent. Saved or lost makes no difference. For the saved individual, how we spend this right here during this time on earth is how our eternal life is going to play out on the other side. So what are you talking about? Heaven's heaven, ain't it? Heaven's heaven and everything's going to be wonderful. I can get in by the skin of my teeth and still it's going to be heaven. Let's look at that for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There's the foundation. Got to be a believer, you're not going to have a foundation, you're not going to have eternal life with the Lord. There's a foundation that's laid. You miss that part, you're going to miss out on everything. Now we're going to nuance that just a little bit as we look forward here. Now, if any man build upon that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. In other words, during the time that we're in this piece, during the time that we're in this piece, if we are building with certain materials, something out here will be affected. If we are building with other materials in this life, then again, things out here will be affected. Oh yes, we'll make heaven, but there's going to be an effect created by what we do and don't do during this time. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Get the point? The point is that it's important what happens in this part. It's very important what happens in this part that we call life, in our earthly existence. This part is critical to reward and loss of reward in all of this that goes out there. Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to see the Lord. I want to be in His presence. I want to see Him face to face. And when we have that attitude, and when we have that response to His grace and to His love, every day when we get out, it ought to change the way we live this part. And if this part right here is changed, it'll change that. We spend so much time being at home down here. We want something, we'll scrape and we'll save and we'll barter and we'll do whatever it takes to get it. We're so at home here. We spend all this time working and working and working and working along in here, working, saving, scrimping, working, save, so that we can do whatever we want to, however we want to, right there when we retire. And then we make all kinds of excuses about why we do that. The Lord wants us living all of this in light of all of this. I'm going to not be a part of this and not be a part of all these things because I'm going to save up and save up and save up and save up, and I'm going to get to travel. And I'm going to get to buy all kinds of, eating all the right restaurants all over the world. And I'm going to enjoy that time right there. What about that? And that, and that, and that, and that. What about that? What about that? I'm not going to give to that. Well, I don't need to serve there. I'm doing okay. Minding my own business. Huh? We don't understand. We don't understand what this is all about. We're living for our belly. Live for our belly rather than in light of eternity. That puts a whole different light on the way that we go about things, the way that we serve, the way that we give, what we save towards, what we buy. We go off and buy stuff and don't give it a second thought because we've got $100 in our pocket. We just go buy it. When in truth, everything down here is a spiritual decision. It's all a spiritual decision. Give yourself a little inventory here this morning. Think about the last week of your life. What did I do last week that's going to have a consequence eternally? What did I buy this last week that's going to have a consequence positively, eternally? What did I invest my time in this last week that is going to have a positive effect on my eternity? And then take another good hard look and ask the reverse of that. What did I engage myself in? What did I buy? What did I do that is going to provide negatively for my eternity? We're too much at home here. Far too much at home here. Because we don't understand the gravity of why we're here during this time. We don't understand the gravity of this period and what it's going to mean out here. Paul, locked up and locked up and locked up, shipwrecked and shipwrecked and shipwrecked, stoned and left for dead, beat to within a half inch of his life on numerous occasions, run out of town on a rail, riot in the middle of a riot. I mean, this man, if there's anybody that had had tribulation and reason to quit, it would have been Paul. And yet, when he comes down to the end here and he's locked up, he says, please pray for me that I get out of here and that I go back to preaching, go back to teaching, go back to be about the business that God left me here to be about. I long to see him face to face. But while I'm here, I'm giving everything that I've got. I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to stay after it till the last day. I'm going to serve and serve and serve and give and give and give every day that I have opportunity to do so. And he encourages us to do exactly the same. He says, follow my example. Come go with me. This is not just my mandate. This is our mandate. Here's a guy that had a thorn in the flesh. You remember that? Here's a guy that prayed and a dead guy stood up. Huh? He prayed and a dead man got up. He prayed for sick people and they were healed. Here's a man that moved mountains with prayer, and yet he went to the Lord in three different times and said, this thing's holding me back. This thing, this thorn in my flesh is holding me back. Take it away from me, Lord. And not the implication there is not that. Take it away because it's just a little uncomfortable and all that. He's saying, if you take that away, I could be even more effective for you. I could do more for the kingdom if you would allow this to pass from me. And on three different occasions, he said, please, Lord, take this from me. Here's a man who knew how to pray. Take it from me. And the Lord said, overruled. My grace is sufficient for you. Overruled. You're going to have to contend with that. You're going to have to deal with that all of the days on your life. You're going to have to contend with that. I'm leaving it. But know this, my grace is sufficient for you. This morning when you came in here and you look up and down your favorite pew there and you went down there and you plopped yourself in that seat, you took for granted that somebody had an idea that you'd be here today and that had made provision to see that that pew would hold you and that that pew would be available, that pew would be the right kind to be able to handle your length, your width, your frame. You trusted in that and you sat down. You see, provision has been made for you to be here this morning. That provision for you to come and put all your weight down, to put all your weight on these things and to be a part of the process here today. And that's what the Lord does with His grace. He makes provision. Makes provision for us in all these things. You see, here's a guy that had every reason to quit. Man, everybody in the world almost down on the guy. But he understood what he was here for. He understood what this time represents. He understood that there was much more to this than just that little old green part down there. And he stayed after it. Stayed after it. Stayed after it. Makes me wonder, in Christian circles, how much talk there is. Oh, I love the Lord. But the walk don't show it. But the walk don't prove it. Love the Lord. If I asked a show of hands this morning, wonder how many people in here love the Lord, I dare say that there'd be close to 100% of us raise our hand. And yet we have to beg for service. Have to beg for folks to be on mission, have to beg for someone to teach, have to beg for someone to give. Maybe it's because this world is our home and we're so very comfortable in our home that we don't want to be bothered or moved from our home in any way. Makes me sad. Makes me sad. Just like it made old Paul sad. Made him sad to see the state of affairs. The way people didn't understand what this thing was all about.
that we're put here to pour our life out. We're put here to pour our life out in service of the Lord. Not just preachers. Not just missionaries. Not just those that are called to leadership. That's everybody. That's all of us. Everything I do is to be done to His glory. Everything I say is to be said to His glory. Everything, not just some things, not just what's comfortable. Everything I own is for Him. He has first rights and first dibs on everything. Every purchase I make ought to be run through the portals of heaven. Direction received and given for that. We're to live for Christ and to understand that the dying is gain. My grace is sufficient. I remember going over to the hospital over here 4 months ago. Oh, I remember lots of times, but this one's sticking in my mind because it's recent. Come out of here wet with sweat from preaching. Went over and looked my mother in the eye. And my mother said, "Help me, son." I can guarantee you I prayed like I ain't never prayed before. Looked her in the eye. She said, "Help me, son." And I put out the only help I had. Talked to the Lord about it that day. Wet from preaching here. Straight across. Asked Him for her life. And the Lord said, "Overruled." But my grace is sufficient for you. And it is. He's a just God. He don't make no mistakes. And all He wants from me is to live for Him. To live for Him while I have opportunity on this earth. To live for Him. And to understand that a death in Him is a gain in all of this. We spend too much of our time in this time right here angry with God. We spend too much time angry with the world and angry with the church and angry with everything. We spend too much time wasting time in here that could be used productively for here. We don't understand what this is about. That it's finite. It's finite. Short time, long time makes no difference. It's all short time on this. And that we have work to be done. Things to be accomplished for the Lord during our brief time on this earth. The closer we are to God during this life, the more centered on Him, the more aware of Him, the more dependent on Him we are, the more desperate we are for His mercy. And then the more there will be to celebrate when we leave here. We're going to be rewarded. Reward shows the reality of our faith. How real that faith was to us during this time on earth. It's going to show how real that faith was, the rewards that we receive on the other side. It's our walk, it's not our talk. We're to share in His sufferings in order to share in His glory. Ministry is not an option for the more dedicated saints amongst us. God does not call for volunteers. Hear me? God does not call for volunteers. He gives us a command in the beginning.
We are called to ministry. We're not called to volunteer to different pieces of it. We're called to ministry each and every day. Ministry is a sacred trust. We're to obey, and we will give an account. God's called you to Himself, saved you. And if that has in fact happened in your life, then He has called you to serve. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when we serve Him here, or we serve Him anywhere on the globe, we serve to please Him. We give to please Him, not ourselves. What'd you do this week? What'd you do this week that had eternal ramifications? What'd you do this week? Let's examine that. Little examination this morning. Stand for prayer with me, if you will.